Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through all my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. And then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the guilt of my sin. Psalm 32, 1-5. Good morning and welcome to Through Their Message. My name is Rhonda, and I come to you from Foundations Bible Church in Winnebago, Minnesota, and I would like to extend an invitation to you to come and join us for Sunday school at 9 a.m. and worship beginning at 10:15. This psalm speaks of being blessed and forgiven, delivered, and all of these are possibilities, and they can and will belong to each of us if only we would believe in the God of the Bible and His Christ. To be blessed means the happy condition of those who revere, who fear the Lord, and do His will. They are those who walk with God, follow in His ways, and seek His face. They are, as can be remembered of Adam and Eve before the fall, able to walk with God, to be with Him, to seek His face and His hand. They are protected by Him, they are provided for by Him, and they are called His own. Today they are those who are born again after having met Jesus, as is written in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. And yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. They are born of the Spirit. By this they are not physically reborn, but they are born for the first time into the spiritual life. The body seeks to please the desires of the flesh, and when reborn, having become a child of God, it is not the body, the flesh, that one seeks to pleasure and please, but it is God that they seek and want to please. Many are confused today on what it means to be a child of God. Not all will be adopted into the family of God because not all will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people believe that all people are God's children. But as we just heard in John chapter 1 in verse 14, it is only those who have believed in the name of Jesus that can become God's adopted children. Every one is born in the image of God. That does not make them sons and daughters. Being created in the image of God is an identification for us that separates us from the animals, and as such we are given some of His characteristics, such as reasoning and mental abilities, our moral and ethical values, our social relations with Him, and relating then with one another. In His image we were blessed with the ability to commune with God, to talk with Him of familiar things in life. But this blessing was turned to a curse upon all mankind and filtered into all of creation by the actions and reactions of a man. Gone then were the peaceful walks, and in their place man was removed, banished from paradise, from the Garden of Eden. Gone was the trust that the first man and woman had when they chose to listen to a liar rather than trusting in their Creator. Both knew from where they had come. Both knew that God loved them. Both knew peace and rest, and yet both, when tempted, turned to rebellion, and into that they fell into temptation. They had had one command placed before them, and if only they had rejected the devil's temptations. Their failing to resist the temptation, sin entered into the world for the first time, and with it came death, spiritual separation from God. Pain and suffering came upon the body, but death came to the spirit within them. In Psalm 51 and 4, David writes to God, "Against you, and only you, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." When we sin, it is against God, His ways, His laws, His covenants, precepts, and His commands. Anything beyond Him is collateral damage, meaning that we drag others into our sin and often cause them to sin or cause them great harm. You see, our sin is never our own sin. Like yeast, it spreads. Or maybe we do not see it at first, but it will reveal itself eventually in the thoughts or actions and deeds of another. That you can be sure of. And so sin rushed in and death came to man. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent for deceiving her. And the serpent was happy to have caused the division. In Romans 5 and 12, it says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. Sin never stands alone. Sin and rebellion are tied together, and there is no peace, there is no real rest in it. But for God, we would all be lost and stand condemned by the curse that fell upon mankind. But John 3:16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. There is not one who has drawn breath that can claim exemption from this statement. With sin in the world came the sinful nature, that which is spiritually contrary to God and all that he is. And it now rules over a person's flesh. And it is the flesh that the sinful nature seeks to please and give pleasure to. Sin enters our lives every day. Even those who walk with Christ Jesus suffer at the hands of the tempter, as temptation always entices, and it makes sin so attractive, looks so rewarding. But that is all a lie, and the devil knows it is a lie. And to an extent, we do also, because God's laws are written on our heart. But because many of the temptations are directed towards things that we would otherwise know to be too good to be true, we fall for it anyway, because the way offered to us is often laid out to be a much easier way to take. And so we let our emotions and our feelings get in the way, and we act and react without thinking, without counsel, without searching God's word for a way to rebuke the devil and to turn from the temptation. You see, a person must first hear God's voice calling them, and then they must rise up to bow down before the Lord, to confess their sin to him, and ask him into their heart, into their life. When this door is opened and Jesus is invited in, the reconciliation, reunion with God begins, and communing with God is once again possible, but it is only through the blood of Jesus that that door can be opened. There really is no other way. There really is no other truth. There really is no other life that can be claimed without the blood of Jesus to cover our sins. In the Old Testament, the people were allowed to substitute animals as sacrifices to cover their sin, but that was temporary. And when Jesus came into the world, the days of sacrifices were filled. When he, as the Lamb of God, perfect and without blemish, laid down his life so that we may live, he was what was needed for the ransom to be paid and the captives, you and I, to be set free. Ephesians 1 and 7, in him we have redemption. Galatians 5 and 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He did for us what we could not do. All people are born with the sinful nature. But Jesus, in being the Son of God and being born of a woman, now the Son of Man, he could do for us what could not otherwise be done. He has saved us from the wrath of God to come, and he has brought us out from under the curse to live in peace with God and under grace, meaning we do not get what we deserve, but we are blessed with the life now given us through Jesus Christ's sacrifice in our place. It's not for anything that we have done, but by God's mercy towards us, his compassion for us, and the depth of his love, that we can be forgiven and live as children of God rather than his enemies. The act of forgiveness comes when one approaches the Lord and repents of their sin. It is an act of confession to God, admitting and taking responsibility for the life that you have lived without him, a life that was contrary to what he calls us to be. As Adam and Eve hid from God when they knew themselves to be naked after eating the forbidden fruit, so it is with us when we hide behind masks. When we clothe ourselves in our work, or bury our anger, and the pain or shame we bring in our relationships, then falls upon our family and friends, only to be carried forward into the next generations when we won't deal with it. But when we come before the Lord and lay down at His feet our burdens and strip the dirty garments that we hide in, then we are washed in the blood of Christ and the stain of our sin is covered with the righteousness of Christ's blood. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is of the Spirit. But a man must be born again, or he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. For only by the blood of Jesus can forgiveness be received, and in turn freely given, for it is then no longer about you, but about Christ and what He has done. Remember in Hebrews 9:22, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness. The Lord redeems. He has paid the price for the freedom of His servants. And no one will be condemned who takes refuge in Him.